Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of conditions in the millennial kingdom.
He was caught up in the third heaven. I think he's talking about himself. And he wanted to go. And you read the Bible, more and more you read it, man, it looks like Paul basically said, I'm ready to go. And he could have made decisions that may have prolonged his life. And I've heard other teachers, including Dr. McGee and Dr. Ruckman and a couple other people, who said that they believe that Paul wanted to die. And that he made the choices in the book of Acts, which to, if you're reading and you're paying attention, you're like, this doesn't really make sense why he's doing this. Yeah, it does. He's ready to go. And he knew he was going to go to Rome and die. Yeah, there's never a place where we see God saying, Paul, you need to go to Rome. And I'm not saying it's not an accusation of sin. It's just a matter of choice. And I believe Paul decided, you know what? I've seen where I'm going. And I'm ready to go. I really believe that. Turn back a few pages to Isaiah chapter 11. Just a few more minutes. Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to go through 9 verses here. Isaiah chapter 11. Mark this in your Bible if you're looking forward to being with the Lord. This is a prophecy of Jesus the Messiah. And verse 1 says, And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So the rod out of the stem of Jesse is David. Amen. And from David, read Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, I believe, is the genealogies that tell you that Jesus comes from... What happened there? Jesus comes from the stem of Jesse, David. And Jesus is the branch. And that's why you got some of these guys that call themselves the branch. It's blasphemy. Some cult leaders have called themselves that in the past. Because that's a title or a name for Jesus. David is the stem of Jesse, and of his seed came a branch, Jesus of Nazareth. Now these first 4.5 verses of Isaiah 11 describe Jesus in both his first and second coming. And now listen, this is an example of having to rightly divide the word of truth. You need to watch each verse because sometimes, we're going to see in a minute, God splits one verse. And it goes from first coming to second coming. And this will happen several times in Scripture. And we've studied them and showed them. In verse 2, this prophetic description of Jesus says, And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These are the 7 spirits of Revelation. You'll see we've talked about that in a previous study of Revelation. 7 spirits of the Lord, all on Jesus, of course, because He's God manifest in the flesh. In verse 3, And shall make Him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. That means that He was a boy and He had to grow up just like any other boy as a man, even though He was God manifest in the flesh. That's the mystery of the Incarnation. We don't understand all that. But that's what happened. And He shall not judge after the sight of His eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of His ears. Verse 4 begins saying, But with righteousness shall He judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. See that? That's all. He did all those things the first time. He will also do all those things the second time. But right here in the middle of verse 4, 2,000 years later, second part of verse 4 says, And He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, Revelation 19, and with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. Did you see that? You need to write it down because if you didn't, you missed it. You missed something big. Right in the middle of that verse, we go from all the things Jesus did in His first coming to what He not only has done, but what He's going to do in His second coming. Right in the middle of one verse, God took us on a 2,000-year trip. It's an amazing thing. This time, everything is different. The first time Jesus came, He came and He said, I came to lay down my life. He came on a mission to die for sin. But the second time, the stem of Jesse, the branch, is going to come with eyes like fire. Hair white like wool. Out of His mouth goeth a two-edged sword. That's what this was talking about here. We go back and it says, with the rod of His mouth and with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. That's what that's picturing right there. He will speak and His enemies will drop. And a little footnote. The following information is only intended to make you think. Some people, I've seen people who, because they've never really thought much, when they finally do start thinking, they think they're hearing God. You ever been around someone like that? And they're like, where'd that thought come from? That couldn't have come from me. I've never thought before. That's where a lot of these charismatics are. They are. Now, this is just a fact. Nisan 14, which was April 17th, or will be, April 17th in the year 2030, will be the 2000th anniversary of the fulfillment of Daniel 9:26, which foretold that on Nisan 14, 30 AD, shall Messiah be cut off. Let me break it down for you. Daniel 9:26 said that there would be 69 weeks of years from the day that Artaxerxes would give his decree to rebuild Jerusalem, the wall and the temple. That happened when Jesus died on Nisan 14, 30 AD. That fulfilled this prophecy that was given to Daniel 600 years before it happened. Folks, that's in no other book on the planet. There's no other book has ever existed where a prophecy to the very day told you that someone was going to die 600 years after the prophecy was spoken.
Amen.
The Bible is like no other book, and you better get a King James because these new versions, they mess it up. 2,000 years later will be Nisan 14, 2030. And I'm telling you, you mark it down. Every year as we get closer to that, you're going to see, if we're not raptured out of here beforehand, you're going to see date-setting movements. It hasn't dawned on a lot of people yet how close we are to that 2,000-year mark. But the closer we get... Now, some people say it's 29 A.D., some 31 A.D., 32 and 33 A.D. There's usually... Pretty much everyone I've ever read, they make claims that it's either 29 through 33 A.D. I believe firmly that it was 30 A.D., and it was on a Wednesday, not a Friday. And He was in the tomb for 3 full days and nights, not 1.5. And so that's why I believe it was on a Wednesday, Nisan 14, 30 A.D. And that, but even if they have the wrong day and they're off a year or whatever, they'll still be date-setting
right.
movements. So what do? Get it right now and you won't get suckered.
Amen.
If you see a book where somebody says, this is when Jesus is going to return, you know better, don't buy it. Amen? Exactly. And when I was a kid, before I was saved, actually, there were some preachers. Hal Lindsey was one of them. And he was accused of date setting. He didn't. Noah Hutchings was accused, and Peter Ruckman was accused, and some others were. Because they pointed out that in 1948, Israel became a nation, and if a generation is 40 years... If that was what Matthew 24 is talking about when it says this generation will not pass before all these things be fulfilled, then that would add up to what? 1988. And they just threw that out there. They didn't say this was going to happen. They were just saying that. Now, I don't believe that that's what Matthew 24, that prophecy is about the generation that's alive when the tribulation period happens. That generation will not pass. That's what I believe. But because of that interpretation, people thought 1988 was going to be the time of the rapture or the second coming even. So this guy, I think his name's Wisenot, he came out with a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. How many of you remember that? Any of you? Man, I'm old. There's only some of you must not have been born then. It was like a huge seller. It sold millions of copies. And everybody should have known that was nonsense because we know no one knows the day or the hour. But he claimed it, and then he fixed it because he was wrong in 88, obviously, and he put out another one. It said 89, and he was wrong then too, and he retired. And that's what these guys do. That's what they do. They put out a book, they sell a few million, and if they're wrong, hey, I still have a really nice house and car. You know, that's how they do it. So, I think that's a fascinating thing to know. That we're approaching the 2000th anniversary. Does that mean anything? Like Jane said, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I think it's very interesting when you put it in the puzzle pieces with all the other things taking place. It's a good enough reason to be busy, amen? Two of you believe, amen. And I just want to reiterate, I'm not date setting, and this is not about the rapture at any rate. It's about the, that would be the second coming if it were to be. But it is simply a fact. Regardless, whenever he does return, life is good if you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
Go back to verse 5. Conditions. It says, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." That's not true about any politician who's ever lived.
Amen.
Only true of King Jesus.
Amen.
Now watch this. This is another little contemporary thing that you need to understand. The prediction is that during the millennium, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That's going to be really neat.
Amen.
Isn't it? Think about that. And right now, you throw a lamb in a cage with a wolf, the wolf has a really good supper. But during this age, it would be like having cats and dogs in the same house. Well, most people I know have cats and dogs. They get along with each other. It's not like Tom. It won't be like Tom and Jerry. Put it that way. And I have to say something else here about this so-called Mandela effect. Have you heard of that? Have you heard of that? Anyway, the Mandela effect. The claim is this CERN experiment has opened up a portal to an alternative reality, changing this reality that we live in right now in subtle ways like changing memories, changing words to songs, changing books, they're even claiming it's changed the Bible. Now, this CERN thing, how many of you know what I'm talking about? CERN. Whew, I got my work cut out for me. It's a massive collider. Look it up.
Okay.
It's the world's largest machine. Okay? It uses 9,600 massive magnets to produce a gravitational pull that is 100,000 times stronger than Earth's gravitational pull. So that it'll throw these protons around, and it goes around an entire little town. They built this whole tunnel system in order to smash these protons to see what they're made of and to study the results. They've spent a lot of money on this, by the way. Now, when those things smash, there's been claims by these scientists, many of whom are atheists, that it's like they believe it's opening up this portal to an alternate reality and all this weird stuff. And a bunch of them have gotten into some really weird Eastern religion now. And they put up statues of the Hindu goddess. I can't remember her name now. Shiva or whatever. And really weird stuff going on related to this. The question is there really a Mandela effect, or is it just bad memory skills? Now, folks, I'm telling you, some of you are going to need to know this. This is really becoming something that people are buying into. They think it's really happened. And this guy that you're about to see believes it, and he's going to tell you a little bit about it, and then we'll talk about it. Just a short little video clip. That's not the duck guy, by the way.
Proof on how some things have changed. I want to give y'all something here. It's just sort of mind-boggling.
Now listen.
But everybody's seeing it in. And y'all go check it out. I mean, don't take my word for it. Go study for yourself. But they're saying, you know, people can remember certain logos on cars, or they remember. Okay, like for instance, remember the Disney movie. Snow White, you know, and she's standing there and she's looking at the mirror and she says, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" It doesn't say that. The Star Wars fans, they say, you know, when Darth Vader looks at her, she says, "Luke, I am your father." And it doesn't say that. It says, "No, I am your father." It says, "Magic mirror on the wall."
You see what he's getting at?
All of your memories, and then the majority of people, not everyone, and depending on your age as to what you've seen or whatever. Remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? So beautiful day in the neighborhood. Well, it doesn't say that no more. It says in this neighborhood. Things have changed. Now, here's why it's so important that you grasp this. And again, go do the research yourself on the Mandela Effect. But check it out. I know Scripture. Okay?
He doesn't.
I know Scripture. This is the point that I'm trying to make. Now, this is old stuff, okay? Bibles and things like that. I know, going back into the old ones, this was from 1966. It was found the Bible my mom had. You look, and I'm talking King James. Trying to go to the King James Version, okay? Because all this translations and stuff. Now, just hang with me. This ain't about religion. You just got to hang with me. Place in Isaiah, where it talks about where the lion will lay down with the lamb. And they changed that. Now it says the wolf will lay down with the lamb.
Yeah.
And the leopard with the young goat. Really?
You see what you got? Is a lot of these people, granted, a lot of these people want to believe in this wild stuff. It's this simple. They don't really remember the Bible accurately. But then when they see what the Bible actually says in the context of this Mandela effect, it's like, whoa, that blows my mind, dude. Look up Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. It used to say, "Judge not lest ye be judged." Don't say that no more. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." It's always said that. See? But there are people really flipping out over this. They think that this CERN thing has opened up this portal and that it is changing things. And it's kind of like, remember, how many of you saw the Back to the Future movie years ago? Again, some of you weren't born yet, but but remember the picture where he starts to fade out? That's exactly the Mandela effect. That they believe that they've opened up some kind of portal and it's causing things to change. And it's bringing down the walls between different realities. And I'm just warning you. You're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
And
I have heard the lion, the lamb thing. I'm back on that. I've always heard that was it. Not saying the Bible said that.
No, that's the point, is that people misquote the Bible, and you always hear, "The lion will lie with the lamb." It never said that, but people always quoted it wrong.
Yeah, that dude looks like a typical pot-smoking kind of decision.
There's college level, you know, suit and tie people who are teaching this stuff on college campuses right now. Now this is, it's what it's always said. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. That's what it's always said. And that's why biblically accurate paintings like these have existed for centuries. Now, you say, I'd never fall for that. Praise God. I hope you never would fall for that. But I'm just telling you, we mention these things because people do fall for it. And you wouldn't believe how many people that some have come here, others that we know elsewhere, who have fallen for these things. And there's just some people who have kind of that, you know, the Y2K, Bigfoot, you know, they just love that kind of stuff. You know, well, I like watching documentaries about it and stuff, you know, popcorn and everything. But, you know, and there might be something out there that's like a Bigfoot. I don't know. I can't really hang that one up completely. But, you know, there are people, not you, Charlie. You're much better looking than Bigfoot. And, but, folks, I just have to tell you this. All I can do is warn you and ask you, use discernment, and when you hear these things, don't just pass it off, because you may be the key to helping someone else from falling into that ditch. And so, just knowing about this stuff. So we continue in closing. Verse 7, the conditions under King Jesus, it says, and the cow and the bear shall feed. That used to say the goat and the bear. And the cow, and I'm just kidding. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And here's your lion. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. See? There was a lion in there, but people put it in the wrong place and got it in their memory like that. And have you ever seen a lion foraging for hay?
No.
You ever seen that? If you do, he's probably got rabies. Run. But that's what they're going to do during the millennium. You see lions walking around eating hay. Oh, that's going to be something. Verse 8, read that with me. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice. That means they're playing with deadly snakes. Don't try this at home.
Amen.
But in the millennium, you know, you're liable to buy your kid one of those. Hey, here's a cobra. Have fun with it.
Should clarify in that picture, they remove the things and everything. It can't actually.
No, I think the kid actually. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what. They claim no one was hurt in the making of this photograph. But you can take the fangs out of that thing and take all the venom you want. I'm not crawling around that thing.
Amen.
Maybe in the millennium. Look me up, but not now. And verse 9, read that. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, the sad thing is that could happen now. That could happen now. I mean, look at just the United States of America. Everybody has access to the Bible. There's no reason for Americans not to know the Bible. And if you just limit it to church members who claim to be Christian and they don't know the Bible, let alone the rest of the country that ought to know the Bible. But that's in the millennium. The Word of God will be infused in everything during the millennial reign. It's going to be an awesome time. As it should be infused in Bible believers now. You see, you know, you can't change the world, but you can take care of this. You can look in the mirror, not me, I mean you, take care of you, don't take care of me. Look in the mirror, and you look in that mirror and you see the one that you can take care of. Don't fix everybody else, you take care of you. If you don't know the Bible as well as you ought to know it, then you should take care of that. If you don't pray as much as you ought to pray, you should take care of that. If there are areas in your Christian life that are falling short, you should take care of that. I'm not even going to try because I've got my hands full right here. I have to take care of Greg. I come in here and teach the Bible, but I don't claim to be some kind of, you know, guru. You have to do this. It's between you and the Lord. And that's really all there is to it. We'll continue with our study next time. But let's have a word of prayer in closing. Father, we thank you for this time in your Word. And Lord, I'm just thankful for the encouragement that this study has been to me, and I just pray it's been that kind of encouragement to everybody else. Lord, just to see the home that you, in John 14, you talked about going to prepare a place for us. That you would come again and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, we will be also. And it's just an amazing thing to see all the information you've given us about that future home. All because of what Jesus did, all because of His shed blood and His victory over sin and death when He rose from the grave. Thank you, Jesus. All these things we pray in your precious name. Amen. 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 Yeah, here's an example of why you've got to be very careful when you look things up that are in the Bible. And you'll see that the cockatrice referred to there in your text, the Wikipedia, but a lot of other ones say the same thing. They call it a mythical beast. They say the same thing about unicorns. And folks, first of all, there may be just a reference to there's several animals that have a single horn, and that would be a unicorn. There's one horn on that. But if we get up to heaven and there's these little ponies with a horn, I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh. That's an example of what that could be. That's what I was talking about before, Dave, that there's animals with one horn. That could be what the Bible is referring to. But I'm holding out for the little pony with the horn.
Yes.
Yeah. No rainbows, but unicorns, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Stephen?
Yeah. So, did you catch a lot of your fallacy? What the guy was saying about alternate realities affecting this reality? He wouldn't be able to know exactly. It's inside this reality.
Did you hear that? There's what you call a logical fallacy in what the fake duck guy was saying about the if there is an alternate reality and it was affecting this reality, he couldn't know about it, or it wouldn't be an alternate reality. If it comes into this reality, it's in this reality. See the point? But you know, so if you want to talk about the Mandela effect on philosophical grounds, that's an explanation against it. And what I wanted to make sure is you understood is someone says, yeah, the Mandela effect, it's even changing the King James Bible. I just wanted you to understand it hasn't changed the King James Bible. Yeah.
Is the Mandela effect named after Nelson Mandela?
Someone told me that the Mandela effect was named that because someone claims that Nelson Mandela in an alternate universe died in prison. And that they had this dream, and somehow or other, that was when they remembered things that they shouldn't have remembered, and they claimed that it was because of this effect, and that's where, yeah, there's a connection to him and how they come up with the name. It's pretty wild stuff.
That's good for a science fiction story, maybe.
Yeah. There was a movie where this was, I think, Butterfly Effect. I didn't see it, but that's what I'm told by the sinners who go to movies. Repent! But if you go to those places, you might know that. Butterfly Effect, was there another one? Someone said?
No, another.
Well, Back to the Future had something similar, yeah. Yeah, probably multiple Star Trek episodes. There was one episode in particular that they pointed to, but I don't think it was the original series.
Oh yeah. Contact was terrible.
Is that what you're referring to?
No.
Yeah, Contact was terrible. It was an interesting movie, but it was